Well, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Wednesday, September the 2nd, in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. And do we ever have a special treat in store for today? Of course, we're going to be diving into Romans, but as we close, I've had some visitors come in from Wills Point, Texas. You're going to meet them in a minute. I'll introduce them when we get into the singing of the hymn today. And of course, Dad's going to be here and helping us as well. But it's just going to be kind of a red letter day on the wake up call. So let's dive straight in this morning with our prayer of consecration. You know, this is not a show. This is not a presentation. This is hardly a daily devotional. This is a meeting with Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church. Don't you love it how it tells us in the Gospels, it says very early in the morning, Jesus got up and he went out to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus was leading us. He was saying, this is what you do in the morning. You get up and you meet with God. And so we're all, I'm not really the host of this. I'm like the doorkeeper. Jesus is the teacher. We're going to open his word. We're opening Romans, and he's going to teach us things today that we don't know. So we always start with consecration. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's entry is entitled, How to Have a Blessed Life. In our text, we're in Romans chapter 1. We're going to read verses 16 and 17 today. So hear now the word of the Lord. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The word of the Lord. Now consider this. Today's text is nothing short of a burning bush. It's on fire and consuming and yet not consumed. It has burned with brilliance from the day it was inspired by the Holy Spirit and written on parchment. Billions have warmed to its fire and been found in its light. If a summary of Romans, this letter, could be written, which it really can't, this passage is it. Just go back a little bit, and for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am a poet, maybe a hacker poet, not so much of a rhyming poet, but I have written songs that rhyme. I just decided one day many years ago that nobody will tell you you're a poet. You have to just decide that you are one and begin to do the things that poets do. And of course, what poets do is they simply play with words, and they take a hold of words and work with words in ways that the words create new realities. God's a poet. God begins in Genesis 1 just speaking words, and from those words come the whole world. You know, mostly we use words, and we use a lot of them quite functionally, and it's good, it's fine. We use words to describe things. We use words to tell people what to do. We use words to get things done. But a poet uses words to create things. And so I'm going to offer you a bit of a poem today. Back around Easter of 2023, I wrote this one after meeting up with an old friend. I hadn't seen her in probably 25 years. And it was a very good meeting that we had, and out of it came this poem I call The Hard and Beautiful Truth. I don't want you to think I'm not a good person. That's what my old friend said to me upon meeting again after decades apart, and a long confession of her broken story. I assured her with the hard and beautiful truth, you are not a good person. I'm not either. We are broken sinners. Something deep in me, and maybe you too, wants to believe that we are good, or worse, that we are bad, that we just need to lose 20 pounds, drop a few bad habits, and try harder to be better. Then I assure myself with the hard and beautiful truth. Good people and bad people is a lie from the pit of hell. And the way from good to great or bad to worse paves the way there. Jesus only goes from death to life, lost to found, slave to free, broken to beautiful. Then she asked me, if you are not good, what are you? Loved, I said. I am loved, and you are too. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Let's pray. Jesus, we belong to you. Yes, Jesus, I belong to you, and you belong to me. I am so weary of trying to fake goodness and appear better than I am. Who am I fooling besides myself? wake me up to the beautiful and hard truth that nothing bad I have done renders me worthless, and nothing good I have done renders me worthy. Jesus, while I was a sinner, you died for me. You love me. I just want to keep saying it. You love me. You love me. You love me. Until the sad tears become happy tears, and all is well with my soul. So I say, I love you, and I love you, and I love you. Praying in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, I've got a journal prompt today, because you're working in a journal, I know. Maybe you're using our book from Romans and trying to find the space in the margins. Or maybe you just have your own journal that you normally use. It doesn't matter. Either one's good. But it's good if you can respond to this revelation of God just writing. So here it is. How about you? Are you tired of the good person, bad person? I call it the calculus of hell. And are you ready for the gospel? Jesus is. You know, you think about that day when, I don't remember exactly who it was, but they came up on Jesus and they said, good teacher, good teacher is what they call him, good teacher. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And you remember what Jesus said back to that person? He didn't answer the question that he asked. He said, why do you call me good? No one is good but God. That is quite stunning that here Jesus, the Son of God, would, in my mind, what he's doing is he's crushing this calculus of hell. And the calculus of hell says that you're good because of what you do, and equally you're bad because of what you do or what you didn't do. You're good because of what you do or didn't do, or you're bad because of what you do or you didn't do. Jesus, I think, crushes that. And he's constantly going to the people that the religious institution has told they're bad. And that's who he's going to. You remember that story when he's in the temple and there's the Pharisee and then there's the tax collector. And they're both praying, and the Pharisee says, oh, I thank you, Lord, that I am not like other people. he's trying to talk about, he says, oh, I show up here all the time. I tithe. I'm doing all the good things. And then he keeps going. And I just want to thank you that, you know, I'm not like that tax collector over there. Something, you know what I'm talking about. And then the tax collector starts praying. And it says he beats his chest and he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says, which one of those two do you think we're going for here? Which one of those two do you think was justified? It's the tax collector. You see, the gospel, this is why Paul would say, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I have to say, you know, for a long time in my life, I felt like the gospel was a good to great program. I'm pretty good. It's going to help me become great. And was I wrong? The gospel is a death to life revelation. The righteousness of God is being revealed. And what happens in the gospel is that the one who was righteous made himself sin, right? He did not sin, but he took on our sins. He gave his life on the cross, the one for the ones who are sinners, the ones who are broken. So, yeah, there's a lot more to say. We got the whole letter of Romans to try to delve into it. But today we're going to sing about that grace. And I'm going to hand it over to my dad and I, and I'm going to invite our special guest to come on and finish out the entry today. All right, guys, we've got a choir today, okay? And this is Dad. Would you, Dad, remember what you used to call choir practice?
QP.
He'd come off the farm. He'd say, "I got to go to QP," and he'd go to choir practice. We always love that because, of course, choir starts with a C.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And he'd just go totally dirty from the farm. He'd go to choir practice, QP. Well, we got a choir today I want to introduce you to. We have had some special guests, visitors here from Wills Point, Texas. And we've got right here, right behind me, Theresa Turner. And we have Fritz Gilbreth. And, you know, look at her. She's got her Today shirt on, I see. Mm-hmm. Love that. And, of course, you recognize Dad here. And guess who else we've got today? Okay, this never happens. She is a fantastic singer, but she prefers to be on the support team. My mom, Susan Walt.
Amen.
Right? Isn't she the best?
She is the very best.
Yes, so Mom is here reluctantly, but joyfully, and is ready to help us sing together. What are we singing today, Dad?
Amazing Grace.
What's our number?
572 in this book.
572 in our Great Redeemer's Praise. And we're going to sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 6. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, you got your book, and this is the song that we've talked about in today's entry about nobody's good enough and nobody's too bad for Jesus, right?
That's right.
Nobody's good enough and nobody's too bad, because this gospel is not about good and bad. It's about dead and alive. It's about broken becoming whole. It's about darkness becoming light. It's about Jesus, who the Bible says God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. It's pure gift.
That's big time.
That's big time. We just have to receive it. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How graciously my desert appeared, the hour I first believed. Though many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come, 'tis great.
grace that brought me forth as born, and grace will take me home.
Last verse.
When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun.
All right, choir, great job.
Amen. Thanks.
Well, everybody, thank you for being with us. Thanks especially to our special guests, and so glad to have Mom and Dad here. It's been a red letter Wednesday on the wake up call, and now it's time to go out in the field and sow the grace of God, the amazing grace of God. So I'm going to put a little bit of seed in each one of our sower's hands, and I'm going to say, for the awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
David Walt.
Tell us who y'all are.
Teresa Turner.
Susan Walt.
Britt Gilbert.
And we'll see you, where are we going to see him?
On the field.
All right.